Get some questions out to the mayor. It's been pretty quiet. Everybody seems to be speaking your language about wearing masks and doing everything we can to stay safe, and that's why so many people are here.
I keep telling people wearing a mask really pays off because that's our best defense against the spread of COVID, but also it makes people feel comfortable coming to Highlands and going out and supporting our businesses because everybody, for the most part, are wearing masks. So I appreciate the voluntary cooperation, and that's one of the things that makes this community so special is all the cooperation and voluntary support that is given.
I was just going to say that was in your mayor on duty. But this chamber canceling the parade, that was supposed to be yesterday.
Yes, becoming very distressful to see one event after the other postponed. That's why I see light at the end of the tunnel here with the vaccine. Hopefully, if we have a good participatory response to the vaccination program, we can get back to more of a normal lifestyle and schedule here in Highlands.
You spoke with the Macon County Health Department. How is the vaccine going to be distributed? Do we know yet?
I get calls from time to time, and several people this week were asking about the COVID testing program because of the concern about, you know, people being exposed, especially during the Thanksgiving season. So I called the health department, and they are still doing the testing this month, and it is by appointment only, though. You have to call in advance. The telephone number is 828-349-2517. Let me go over that one more time. 828-349-2517, and they will set you up for an appointment. Right now, they're doing those tests on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And I did have a good conversation with representative of the health department concerning the impending vaccination program. There's nothing etched in stone on this right now. It's all kind of a preliminary information, and they are making plans and trying to make the connections with the state and the federal officials on how they will get the vaccine and then what will be the protocol for actually distributing the vaccines, who will get the vaccine first. One thing that they anticipate is that it'll be similar to what they've been doing with the COVID testing. I know they're replacing their temporary tent with a more permanent awning at the back of the health department to where they could set up a vaccination program where people would have to, again, call in advance, I'm sure, and then go through and get vaccinated at that location. Now, there might be other sites throughout the county and in the region where you could get your vaccination also, but that's one of the kind of general plans that the health department is making right now. The vaccination program is actually more complex than the COVID testing because you've got to get two doses. Those folks are working hard to try to figure out how this is all going to take place. It's going to be a complicated and challenging process. I would suspect after Christmas and as we go into the first of the year, there'll be more specific details coming forward.
The weather has been pretty good for paving, so we finished most of our chores there at Chowan Road, and then next is Main Street. Here we go.
We saw our contractor finally get the last part of Chowan Road done this past week, so that's good news. All the street paving has been done for this year, and you're exactly right, Steve. DOT has let that contract for the paving of Main Street and then going out 64 and 28, and the news release that they sent out indicates that in March they'll start doing the milling, which will make the surface of the road kind of rough for a while people drive on it. And then as soon as that asphalt is available because of the companies producing it again in April or sometime, they'll start putting down the new surface of the road. And I know some people might be upset. I'm sure the contractor, who is very experienced, will be rerouting the motoring public while they're putting down the asphalt. And once they do Main Street, which is the priority to have that done before Memorial Day and have it all striped off and ready for business, they'll start going out 28 and 64 paving. And there will be delays because there's just no way of putting down asphalt and not backing up traffic. So I hope everybody will be understanding of that process that will go into the summer.
I know you're so aware of how many wonderful volunteers we have, and the chamber always comes out with their awards.
Especially this year. where we have really been dependent as a community on people stepping forward and volunteering and being generous. I just wanted to kind of go over some of the recipients and give them a shout out because they have really made some critical contributions. For example, Mary Ann Cresswell of the Emergency Council, and she was recognized for her long-term service by getting the Dupree Award because she has been working for and with the Emergency Council for 28 years. Congratulations to Mary Ann. And then Matt Eberts was given the Duke Energy Award because Matt was the volunteer that pulled together the neighbor to neighbor that the chamber set up as we entered this COVID situation. And Matt formed a group of volunteers and they made it happen to where if someone needed just some basic neighborly help, they stepped forward and got the job done. So congratulations to Matt. And then there was the Dale Roberts Award, and that was Old Edwards Inn this year. Old Edwards Inn had done things like giving support to the International Friendship Center, the Emergency Council. They made contributions beyond what is normally done by supporting financially some of the testing initiatives that we've had in the community. So I want to congratulate the staff, the workers at OEI, Art Williams, Richard Delaney, the leaders in that organization for a job well done.
The Highlands Cashers Health Foundation, they have announced their 2020 grant recipients. And isn't that the way healthcare should be? If you, even if you can't afford it, you're going to be given help.
One of the things that has been of concern to me is how our nonprofits that do deliver services that impact people's long-term health prospects are getting support. And the Highlands Cashiers Health Foundation has been giving these grants out to the nonprofits that are committed to providing health and wellness to this community. They are involved in addressing the social determinants of health. I was really gratified to see that they had yet another successful round of grants. They received some funding from the Dogwood Health Trust. The foundation has money, of course, from their endowment that they can direct toward these also, but they also need and rely on the generosity of this community through donations and support of that sort. So I encourage everyone, especially here at the end of the year, if you have a chance, please give a generous donation to the Highlands Cashiers Health Foundation because it really has an impact on the needs for health support here on the Highlands Plateau.
Yeah, there in the newspaper are so numerous to mention. So you know, take a look at your local newspaper and look at all those wonderful grant recipients.
Absolutely.
Broadband, okay, it's sort of an ongoing thing. We're just working on the contract.
We are working with our attorneys in drafting a contract that then will be presented to Hotwire. We are in communications with Hotwire right now. I anticipate at our next board meeting on the 17th, we probably will be having a closed session with our legal attorneys. The next step would be that a draft will be presented to the board at some point in time as soon as possible for their review. And then if everything is in order after the board reviews it, then we would submit that to Hotwire for their review and approval. The town has built the aerial portion, that is the fiber that can be hung on the utility poles. The provider that will operate the network will be expected to build the underground portion. And that is pretty expensive undertaking to run the conduit if it's needed, to do the borings, to do the micro trenching and so forth. Well, how fast can this be done? And my response is as soon as possible, but it's one of the most complicated part of completing and the most expensive part of building the network. I know everybody wants this to be done as soon as possible. I do too. We've been working on this now for 6 years. The underground will be the part that we'll have to really focus on getting done in a timely manner.
We have a new forest ranger, and you met with Ranger Waskey.
Yes. Yeah. Mr. Waskey was named the district, Nantahala District Forest Ranger. He took the place of Mike Wilkins, who retired. He's going to come up and talk about some basic issues about the Forest Service in particular, and I've already communicated this. It's time to get the parking lot at Bridalveil Falls paved or fixed up. Now will be impending federal funds to apply toward maintenance and restoring certain venues. And I just wanted to make sure that Bridalveil Falls was not forgotten. We need to get that venue improved because so many people attend it. And then I know the next question you're going to ask me, Steve, and that is?
Dry Falls. How can we, like, you know, make sure we can get past Dry Falls without the waiting?
That's, I talked with Ranger Wasky about that I know that it isn't just the Forest Service's responsibility. NCDOT, the Highway Patrol, I'm sure are very concerned about those backups on 64 of people waiting to get into Dry Falls. It can be very dangerous. So I've encouraged them to also put that on their list. And we talked about something that happened a long time ago. If you remember, maybe a decade ago, the Forest Service had this plan to build a sky bridge from a parking lot on the other side of the road that would go into down into Bridalveil Falls. That parking lot would have been accessed by Walton Way. Actually, they built the parking lot. Huh. It is there. I've been up there, and it's asphalt, and there's a parking lot. One of the things I think that happened was, though, they started looking at their budget and the cost of a sky bridge and just felt like it just wasn't the time to build it back then, and it would be cost prohibitive. I've talked to the ranger, and he says, yes, I'm familiar with that. That concept needs to be revisited as a solution to this backup on 64 that we have.
Yeah, too many people going the other way. They see the backup and nobody's coming, and then they'll try to sneak around, and that's when the problems can happen.
In my telephone conversation with the ranger, we were talking about how the pandemic has put so much pressure on so many of these recreational sites throughout Western Carolina, and I was laughing and saying, I know that's not the only pressure point that you have in the Nantahala Forest. And he said, yes, almost every site we have is just being overrun with visitors and tourists right now. So I think it's going to be an ongoing problem. Even as we get on top of the pandemic, I think that people have discovered Western Carolina. They have fallen in love with it as a recreation area. I don't see the pressure of people visiting these sites really subsiding that much after the pandemic. So it's time to start planning how will we manage this increased visitorship.